Eminenz, sehr geehrte Frau Vizebürgermeisterin, geschätzte Ehregäste, meine Damen und Herren, dear colleagues, students, and above all, dear graduates and your family and friends, because today is about you. To graduate is to conclude an important formative part of your life, and to use that formation to pursue your call in life. However, to graduate from the ITI is something very much more than that. In fact, something much larger than yourself and beyond your plans. Graduating from the ITI is a great privilege to be deeply grateful for, an even greater responsibility that you are called to work for the rest of your life and ultimately a vocation to bring Christ into the world to all peoples and all nations. We heard last Sunday at the Feast of the Trinity, we heard in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. This, dear graduates, is your true vocation, as you go out into the world and taking responsibility to serve and be faithful. There are three important guidelines I would like to share with you in this regard, devised by three men that are very important to the life of the ITI and its unique mission. The first, here present today, our very loved Grand Chancellor, and as a wonderful rumor goes, possibly a future faculty member, if that God grants that to us one day, Cardinal Christoph Schönborn. In February, His Eminence gave a lecture to the ITI students and staff on St. Thomas Aquinas, and this was a memorable experience for all of us. Here he called upon us to serve the faith of the faithful. And I would like to quote from that talk. The fundamental task of any science should be to serve. Knowledge has to serve. If not, it becomes pride. It becomes dangerous, very dangerous. It inflates, as St. Paul says. Theology should serve the faith of the faithful. And if you feel superior of the simple faithful, you are already on the wrong track. All the science you acquire through studying theologically, academically, is to serve the faith of the faithful. St. Thomas always speaks about the Vetula, the old woman, a simple old woman, and His Eminence referred to this in the sermon today, and by the way, this was not prearranged. For St. Thomas, she is the measure, We have to serve the faith of the faithful and of the simple ones. If your theology pretends to be superior of the faith of the simple faithful, then you are already agnostic and not a Christian theologian. End of quote. When your theology, the result of your studies, dear graduates, is not focused on serving the faith of the faithful, you are not being open to the unique responsibility you have been given as a Christian, and even more as an ITI graduate. As a student recently told me during our wonderful Tuesday common lunches, he said, after spending some days in the hospital where he was hospitalized, he said in a conversation with me, "There is a world out there with so much suffering and confusion and such a yearning for the joyful tidings of the gospel. We have a great duty to serve in that world," he told me. But what does it actually mean, serving the faith of the faithful? Here another contemporary gives us very clear answers. In a rare publicized letter the past April, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI reflected upon the question of how the Church can truly fulfill her mission in this age and time. Benedict writes, "Only if we think together with the perspectives and the questions of our time will we be able to grasp the Word of God as addressed to us in the present. Only if we join in the concern for the possibilities and the needs of our time can the sacraments come to the people with their real power." And then later on in the letter, Benedict continues, "The Church is part of the world, and so she can only rightly carry out the proper mission by looking after the entire world. For its part, the Word of God likewise regards the whole of reality, and its presence places a responsibility upon the Church for the whole. The Church must involve herself in the struggles which humanity and society pass through to find the right path. And for this purpose, the Church must find a way of debating these questions, which also reaches out to the non-believers. Only if she goes out of herself and assumes the responsibility for all of humanity, does the Church remain true to herself." Thus, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, only a few weeks ago. So the Church, as you graduates that are part of it, and as we all are assembled here, are part of it, can only fulfill our Christ-given mission when we are concerned by the world as a whole. In a world that is burning around us and so full of problems, Benedict is saying we cannot hide from it and fall to the temptation to merely speculate about its future, whilst assuming a self-righteous attitude. No, we have to face the real painful challenges of our society with the gift of faith and reason we have been blessed with. This, dear graduates, and all of us, is your task. And so we come here to a third contemporary who can guide us, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, who tells us what in practice this means to be concerned by the world as a whole and actively engage in it. In a recent address, the Holy Father pointed out that evangelization means for each and every one of you, dear graduates, and for all of us Christians, that we have to be instruments of salvation for our brothers. Instruments of salvation for our brothers. Being an instrument means being instrumental too, to actively assist in the process of bringing all to Christ and Christ to all. An instrument is only effective if it is attuned to what is meant to be worked on. This means us, you, dear graduates, being attuned to the problems of our world, to dare to name them publicly and privately, and help to solve them in the light of Christ. So it is these three thoughts that I pass out to you, dear graduates, today. Serving the faith of the faithful, being concerned by the world as a whole, and being an instrument of salvation for our brothers. If you follow the wise counsel of these three men, you will be able to carry the great responsibility given to you as a privileged ITI graduate. And I would like to conclude as a final encouragement to you, dear graduates, with what our founder, Saint John Paul II, wrote in his testament. And he says, and he quoted a Polish cardinal, "When victory is won, it will be a victory through Mary." And so I ask you that we all rise and dedicate ourselves to Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Thank you. Please be seated. I would like to come to a conclusion of our ceremony today by saying a few words of gratitude. First of all, I want to thank His Eminence for being with us, and especially Your Eminence for being such a father for the ITI and having accompanied us this year for 20 years already in the growth of the ITI. And as I was just, we were sitting here, the Cardinal asked me, looking at the tree, will the ITI one day be such a large and fruitful tree? And I said, it's in God's hands, but if I see all of you in front of me, Your Eminence, I'm very confident that it will be. I would also like to express my gratitude to a number of people for being here today, our Frau Vizebürgermeisterin, and those many of you that have helped this graduation be the beautiful commemoration that it is. I would like to thank Melissa Steele and Danilo Colassa for guiding the two choirs the ITI is blessed with. I would like to thank Irena Colassa for the flowers, all the students and staff who gave their time and talents for the ceremony. Last night, when I was preparing, I found students cleaning windows and cleaning the door, many details that we should be very appreciative of. I thank, of course, the family and friends who have been supporting the graduates, the parishioners, especially Pater Pio, our parish priest, for the love and friendship with which he always receives us in the church. And finally, to all the students and staff who have over this year worked tirelessly, contributing to the common good and the increased wisdom through all their study and all their activities. And I would especially like to thank my colleagues in the faculty that are sitting to my right and the staff. This has been a challenging year, and I commend you for the beautiful way in which you have guided the students. So thank you very much. And